Welcome to Durst Notes on Divorce Law with Robert J. Durst, shareholder and chair of Stark & Stark's Divorce Law Group. The Durst Notes podcast series is designed to give you an overview of the several most common areas of divorce law, enabling you to better understand your divorce and the law.
Hello, my name is Robert J. Durst. I'm a shareholder in the law firm of Stark & Stark. This is the fifth installment of Durst Notes on Divorce Law. Today, we are going to discuss alimony. In prior segments, we have discussed child support and financial obligations relevant to the children. Alimony is financial support for one spouse to the other. Alimony, if it is appropriate, is paid in addition to child support, and it is not dependent upon the needs, the ability, or the other factors related to the children. It is support paid by one spouse to the other solely for the support of the spouse. There are very important differences between alimony and child support, not only in terms of a person's entitlement to alimony, but with regard to the duration of the alimony, the ability to modify the amounts, and the termination of the payments. However, one of the most important distinctions is that child support is not tax deductible to the person making the payments, nor is it taxable income to the person who is receiving the payments. Alimony, on the other hand, is tax deductible to the payor and is considered taxable income to the recipient. There are many variations of alimony. However, the basic types of alimony are the following. There is rehabilitative alimony. Rehabilitative alimony is an amount of alimony that is designed to allow the recipient to rehabilitate their career. If one of the spouses has interrupted their career to be a stay-at-home parent, and now needs additional education, recertification, or licensing in order to return to the employment market, rehabilitative alimony may be appropriate. There is limited duration alimony. Limited duration alimony is alimony which is paid for a defined period of time. In other words, it may be paid for a year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever. But there is a defined period, and at the end of that period, the alimony will end. Under the New Jersey statute, the length of time cannot be modified. However, the amount of payment can be at any time during the course of payment. The third type of alimony is permanent alimony. Permanent is a defined term. Permanent in New Jersey means that it is payable until the death of either party, it is payable until the remarriage of the recipient, it is payable unless the recipient cohabits with an unrelated third party in circumstances that are equivalent to a remarriage, and it is modifiable upon a showing of changed circumstances. Such changed circumstances may include significant increases in a party's income or decreases in a party's income, medical conditions, termination of employment, retirement, or other circumstances that would justify a modification upward or downward of the alimony. After determining the type of alimony that should be paid, the amount of alimony to be paid is often the issue that is most hotly negotiated in the entire divorce. It is generally said that both the recipient and the payor of alimony should have the ability to enjoy the standard of living which was established and maintained during the marriage. Think about that, however, for a moment. In most marriages, all of the income, whether earned by one party or both parties, is expended. There may be some small amount of savings, usually through an employment plan such as a 401k or an IRA. But generally speaking, in this day and age, most people spend just about as much as they make. It is therefore impossible to divide that combined income after the divorce and have each of those parts, or each of those now two households, equal one. It's mathematically impossible. Therefore, the concept of maintaining the standard of living is more of a guidepost than an actual reality. We examine the standard of living to see what kinds of restaurants the people ate in, what kind of homes they lived in, what kind of cars did they drive, where did they vacation, did they have help, did they not have help, did they do their own lawn maintenance, did they employ landscape services. And while we cannot always replicate all of those, they do give us some milestones and guideposts to see what the standard of living was and some goals to attempt to achieve. There are some very important and very, very complicated principles of law which address a situation in which the payor's income increases after the divorce. Those principles must be discussed with your attorney, and you have to seek the advice of a competent divorce attorney in crafting the terms of your agreement. However, as a general concept, the recipient of alimony is only entitled to enjoy the lifestyle that existed during the marriage. If the payor's income increases after the divorce, they have not been a part of that, the marital partnership has ended, and they have not contributed to the successes of the earning spouse. Therefore, the law generally says that they are not entitled to share in income increases after the dissolution of the marital partnership. However, if the party's financial circumstances at the time of the divorce did not enable the recipient spouse to maintain her standard or his standard of living, the payor's post-divorce income increases may be accessed to enable the person to bring themselves up to the marital standard of living. These are difficult, complicated decisions, and the language that is incorporated into your decree will govern the future decisions. You must take great care and consult carefully with your attorney in addressing these issues.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's installment of the Divorce Law Podcast, and be sure to join us next week for another informative discussion with Robert Durst. Stark & Stark is a full-service law firm with offices throughout New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. For more information on the services the firm provides, visit us online at stark-stark.com.